Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Praise the Lord. You know, for years, and I don't know, I haven't seen it for a while, a commercial on television, but an insurance company called themselves the Good Hands People, stating that if you had insurance with them, you were in good hands. And another company advertises they are on your side. Well, I'm not here to sell you one of their policies, and I leave that to professionals that they hire. But I am here to tell you who you are in good hands with and who is on your side. I'm also here to tell you about an insurance policy, and I call it a fire insurance policy, and that you can have, and you can actually have even more, because you see, the great thing about the fire insurance policy I'm going to be talking about is the fact that the premium has already been paid. You know, if you're buying insurance, what's the hardest part of buying insurance sometimes? It's the premium. It's the cost. And the policy that I'm talking to you about today has a great cost, but that price, that premium, has already been paid. A few years ago, I delivered a message titled Bus Insurance, and I basically talked a little bit how people like to throw you under the bus sometimes, and the insurance that you can have against that. And because people talk about insurance a lot anymore, in fact, I looked it up. In 2013, the insurance business in the United States alone totaled over $1 trillion. Just think about that. $1 trillion, that's with a T, dollars. And of course, insurance is big in all the countries of the industrialized world, and people insure all sorts of things. For example, we may insure our homes, and we insure our vehicles. We take out health insurance. We have medical care that is an insurance. We have life insurance. And those are to name just a few things. But these things only affect a small amount of our life. When you really stop to think about it in the spiritual realm, they only affect a portion of our life. They only affect one third of our being, because you see, we are a triune being. That means we're three parts: body, soul, and spirit. And these things that I've talked about that we normally would buy insurance for, they only cover that one third part, that one third of who we are, and that is the physical being. So let's go back to the beginning. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Paul, as he's writing to the Romans here, is telling us a very poignant fact here. By one man, sin entered into the world. And because of this, we are all in sin. And so death came by sin. And all men have sinned. We're also told in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You know, we read the story in Genesis chapter 3, how the enemy came along in the form of a serpent, tempted Eve, and said, "Eve, do you see that beautiful fruit upon that tree? That fruit that God told you not to eat?" He says, "I want to tell you, Eve, it's okay, you can eat it." And Eve says, "But he told us if we eat of this fruit, we'll surely die." And he says, no. He just doesn't want you to eat of that fruit, because if you do, you will become like him. So you can go ahead and eat of that fruit, Eve. It's not going to hurt you. You ever have something that you were tempted by and you hear that little voice whispering in your ear? It's okay. You can do it. It's not going to hurt anything. How many have ever seen the cartoon where you got the little angel sitting on one shoulder and the little devil sitting on the other shoulder? And one is whispering, go ahead and do it. And the other's whispering, no, don't do it. It's wrong. Don't do it. And the other says, it's okay. It's not going to hurt anything if you do it. Guess where that all started? Back in the Garden of Eden with Eve. What happens? Eve partakes of the fruit. She in turn gives the fruit to Adam. And as a result, sin enters into the world. So all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As we read through the Old Testament, we find the results of sin and of judgments that have been poured out because of sin. And some of those judgments that were poured out because of sin have been pretty harsh if you read them. But God is a just God. And that's one thing that some people like to tend to forget, is the fact that God is a just God. We're told then in Revelations chapter 21, verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I want to stop right here just a second and tell you, that's the fire I'm talking about getting you insurance from. As we read that scripture there, it talks about various groups of people that the Bible says will be condemned to that lake of fire that burns forever and ever. We look at some of the people there, idolaters will be condemned to it. Whoremongers will be condemned to it. Murderers. Did you ever hear about somebody that committed a murder? And we've had some taking place lately where the person kills multiple people. Several times recently, the one doing the killing ended up being killed themselves. And a lot of times we look at that and we say, well, it serves them right. They got what was coming to them if they got killed themselves. Or they're caught, they're put to trial, and maybe they're sentenced to death. And we say, that's all right, man. They should sizzle in the electric chair or whatever, you know. And we look at that as saying, that's the judgment that should come upon them. So there's some horrible things that take place out there. And we think about these things. The abominable. But there's the first two groups that it talks about. The first two categories. And guess what? The majority of people, realistically, the majority of people probably fit into those first two categories. And what were they again? The fearful and the unbelieving. And specifically, the unbelieving. Because there's a lot out there who just don't believe that the Bible is really the Word of God. Or maybe they believe it part way, but they're just not quite sure. Or they have some other reason as to why they think that, you know, there is really no need to be a Christian. They think maybe they're okay because they haven't done any of these other things that we talked about here. I mean, they've lived a good life. And probably all of us know someone who is a good person. I'm talking about a really good person. They do a lot of really great things. They feed the hungry. They take care of the widows and the orphans. They clothe those that need clothing. They help out here. They help out there. And they do these great things. And they think that by doing so and living that good life, they're going to be okay. And I guess realistically, that then throws them into that unbelieving category. And we have the sum. I'm not quite sure about the fearful here as to which categories they really fit, because some people are just maybe afraid to give their heart and life to God. And I don't know why they would be afraid, but some are. Some parts of the world today, it's a fearful thing to think about. Realistically, as far as in the natural, if I become a Christian and somebody finds out that I'm a Christian, it's going to be off with my head. And that could put fear into the hearts of some people and cause them not to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior because of the physical consequences that could happen. But the Bible also tells us that once we've accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, to be absent from this body is for our soul and our spirit to be present with the Lord. Because you see, this body is the least important part of the whole equation here. It's the soul and the spirit that we need to be concerned about and what is going to happen to it, because that is the part that goes on forever and ever. See, the body is destined for the grave. We have a family that's not here today because they're having to attend a funeral service of a loved one. And in the majority of funeral services, at the committal, and the committal is the part where they're getting ready to put the body into the grave, these words will be spoken. And I even looked this up in a couple of manuals last night on funeral services and how to conduct funeral services. And these words were included in almost every one that would be spoken as some of the final words that would be said. And they are ashes to ashes, dust to dust. You see, this body, this physical thing that we look at here is going to go back to the dirt. It's going to go back to the dust. The human body, when the spirit and the soul have left it, immediately begins to return to that. Now, I know in our society today, and even in the ancient Egyptian society where they mummified the bodies, the body in its natural course will begin to deteriorate immediately. And within a short period of time, depending upon the temperature and a few other factors, eventually just returns to that dust. It's gone. It's not there anymore. And some people are so worried about this physical shell that they forget to take care of the spiritual part of what's in us, that soul and that spirit that is really us. You see, this body we look at, we identify one another by it. I identify Steve because I know what Steve looks like by his physical body. I say, oh, that's Steve. Identify Samuel there because I know what Samuel looks like. But that's not the important part. It's only our means right now of identifying one another. But our spirit and our soul, which is really our true being, goes on forever and forever. So as we continue on, How do we get that fire insurance that I spoke about earlier? Because I told you earlier that it says all these folks will have their part in the lake of fire that burneth forever and ever. We hear, and we don't hear so much about it anymore in a lot of churches. We hear about it outside of the church as part of profanity and other things. But we don't hear a lot preached about avoiding hell anymore. You don't want to say that word. That scares people. And we've got to be politically correct. Don't scare people in church. You want to make them feel good about themselves. I will do my best to scare you if that's what it takes to get you on the road to heaven and to get you to have your heart right with God. Then it is my duty as a Christian. It is your duty as a Christian to scare them if you have to, if that's what it takes to get them on the right road. Well, Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 and 28 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Judgment. A lot of people don't want to think about that there's going to come a time of judgment. Every last person who has walked the face of planet Earth will stand in a judgment. But you see, there's going to be the judgment of the just and the unjust. The judgment of the just is where we stand before God, and He looks at us as what we've done in our Christian walk and our living for Him. But the judgment of the unjust will end up with these words. You know, in a courtroom, when you're standing before the judge, comes that point when the judge may slam his gavel down, get the attention of everybody, and say, "I hereby sentence you to whatever the sentence is." Slams his gavel down again, and depending upon what the sentence was, you may be able to walk out of the courtroom and go home, or you may be led away by a couple of bailiffs in handcuffs and put in a jail cell. Well, and that sentencing of the unjust that comes part at that time, it says we will then be sentenced to the lake of fire, which burneth forever and ever. Now, we talk about people going to hell, because it also tells us, I want to clarify this, hell at some point ends up in that lake of fire. You find out that's hell's final destination even. So those who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, those who've not taken out that fire insurance policy, now I'm sorry, I don't care how good a life you lived, you are going to hell. And hell is eventually going to end up in that lake of fire, which burns forever and ever. You know, that's not really pleasant to think about, but it's fact. It's realistic. And I know there are some people say, "Oh, that's just some religious fantasy." I'm sorry, but someday you will have to stand by before God and explain to Him why you think it's a religious fantasy. How do you get the fire insurance? "As it is appointed a man once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Bible goes on and tells us a scripture that probably, I would say, is the best known scripture out of the entire Bible. And that's John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." What we really should also learn, it's the couple of verses that follow that and have them committed to memory as well, because it says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. If you don't believe, you are condemned already. But if you believe in him, and I want to clarify something here. There are a lot of people out there that believe in Jesus Christ that are on their way to hell. I believe in Jesus. Having him in your heart, accepting him into your life, making him a part of your being is what it takes to get off that list of the condemned. That's the way out. That's the insurance policy. When Jesus Christ is in your heart, you have that insurance policy that you are on your way to heaven. That you are not going to end up in the pits of hell. You are not going to end up in the lake of fire if Jesus is in your heart. Believing in Jesus alone is not enough. Because you know what? The devil, every last one of the fallen angels, demons, all of that, they believe in Jesus. They know who he is. And they tremble at the very mention of his name. Because they know he's that policy that stands between people going, that allows people to get into heaven and keeps them out of the pits of hell. Jesus paid the price. He paid the premium that we could have assurance that we can be on our way to heaven. I said the soul and the spirit are that eternal part of us that goes on. The Bible also goes on to tell us that even though this physical part of us has returned to the dust from which it came, there will come that time when that trumpet will sound, and the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first and be reunited with that glorified body, that body that will have no sin in it, that body that will have no sickness in it, that body that will live eternally with our soul and spirit, will come out of that grave. And it goes on to say, and for those that are alive and remain, those that are alive at the time of the rapture, they will also go up, and that physical body they're in, it is going to be changed. The scripture tells us in the twinkling of an eye, and mortals shall be changed to immortality. Why? Because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. He paid the price. He paid the premium. He is our way into that eternal relationship with God. So all you have to do, you see, the premium's been paid, the policy's been written, all you have to do is accept it. And when you get an insurance policy, what's one of the things you have to do? You have to sign on the dotted line. Because if you haven't signed, it don't work. And our signing on the dotted line is when we give our heart and life to him. He's paid the price. The policy's written. All we've got to do is give our heart and life to him, signing it on the dotted line. And guess what? It's not a term policy. How many of you know what a term policy is? A term policy means it's only good for a specified length of time. After that, it doesn't matter how much in premium you paid. It's gone bye-bye. And when you're talking life insurance policies, there's also what's called whole life insurance policies. You pay on it, and some of them have you pay for a particular length of time. Some of them may have you pay for the rest of your natural life. But that policy doesn't go away. As long as you keep making the payments, that policy stays in force. Well, this policy that God has given us is a whole life policy. It sticks with us. Premium doesn't expire. The premium doesn't run out. Well, some people might say, well, what's the catch here? You see, all he's really asking of us is that we give our heart and life to him and live for him. Just live for me. Be my child. And some people say, well, yeah, but, you know, what if I fail once in a while? What if I fall once in a while? Hebrews 10, 14 through 18 says, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Wherever the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he said before, this is the covenant I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, is there no more offering for sin? He's also telling us something very important there. His sin, his offering has covered our sins. But he goes on in verse 26 of Hebrews chapter 20, or chapter 10. For if we sin willfully after that which we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. You see, I told you it was a whole life policy. As long as you serve God, as long as you strive to do your best to follow Jesus Christ, does that mean that you are going to live a perfect life while you're still here on earth? No, because we all mess up once in a while. But all we've got to do is say, Father, I'm sorry. I messed up. But he says here, though, and he gives us a warning, that if we take this, and there are some who believe this, that, oh, once you've accepted Jesus Christ in your heart, you can go out and live like the devil if you want to because you're saved. Because the Bible says that no man can take us out of God's hand. No one can take us out of God's hand. But with everything, you have a choice in what you do. And we can get up and walk ourselves out of God's hand. In other words, we can get up and sin ourselves out of God's hand because he says we must strive to do our best to live for him and follow his guidance, and he will help us to live for him. But a lot of us, and there are people out there that I've known that feel that, oh, I can do anything I want to do. Somebody told me one time of this preacher that prayed for these young boys and told them to pray the sinner's prayers. And he said, now you're saved. You can go live like you want to. That don't work that way. Because we cannot willfully take and rub sin into the face of God. Because you can lose your salvation. Man can't take it away. But you can walk away. So if you want an insurance policy that will keep you out of the pits of hell and of the lake of fire, here's what you need to do. First of all, Revelations 20, verses 14 and 15 says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But Jesus in John 14, 6 said, and Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You want that fire insurance policy against the lake of fire? You accept Jesus Christ into your heart and life. He is the way. He is the only way. Oh, some people says, oh, no, 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 no. And we hear that a lot today. We hear it in some churches anymore. Oh, there's more than one way. It's okay, you can be Buddhist and you're still on the way to heaven. You can be Rastafarian and you're still on your way to heaven. You can be Hindu and you're still on your way to heaven. Jesus says you can only get there by me. And that's by accepting me into your heart and life. That is the only way to be guaranteed that you will be stay out of that lake of fire, that you will have fire insurance. And Father, right now I pray, Father, for those that may be listening to this message, Father, by other means, Father, by the internet or however else they receive it. And Father, I pray that those that hear that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that Father, you would speak to their hearts, speak to their life right now. Help them to realize they need Jesus in their heart and in their life. Touch them, I pray today, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.